All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley. On a beautiful, beautiful Thursday morning here. Welcome to the Pro to Pro Hour. Marla Vitarello. How are you, Marla?
I'm just doing dandy. I feel very tangerine-y today.
Yeah, you
Shake
look great.
Your tangerine.
You look fantastic. You're doing the, I know you're a trainer and you do a lot of physical activity, but the summer, I also know you're an outstanding professional.
Oh boy.
How do you keep that crazy schedule going?
It is a lot of ice
cream. The family,
yeah.
You know, the whole deal.
Ice cream always makes it better.
Woo! No.
So here's the deal, Joe. What happens is all year, so you start in January, everybody's disgusted after the holidays, right? So you get up one day and you try to buckle your pants and you're like, damn it, I can't button my pants, my shirts are tight. Pitchers come back and you're like, ooh, look how thick I look.
You got a point there, but I have a solution to that.
What?
You just buy big baggy clothes. You don't have any problems. No, I'm just kidding.
That's the rabbit hole you don't want to go down, right? So now what happens is now everybody starts going gung-ho in January. So January, February, March, and April, you start getting tired of it. Okay, you veer off a little bit, and then by May, you start chubbing up a little bit more, right? And then you're like, oh, crap, here's the summer. Yeah. So what I do is I do the opposite of what everybody else does. So I don't start until March because I'm like, March is when you start to get spring fever. And I feel like you're more controlled. So then March, April, May, and then June, I feel like I'm in better shape. And then I start my ice cream and drinking, Fiesta.
But the ice cream and drinking, you know, you're able to withstand that better than the rest of us. So
I don't think so.
I start my ice cream and first of all, let me just say this: I'm doing keto and
You look good, by the
way.
Joe D looking pretty.
I got my hair cut, so that knocked some pounds right out yesterday.
Haircut does a lot for you, though.
Well, it was time, and you should have saw me this time yesterday. Oh my God, I look like
Wolfula.
The creature from the Black Lagoon, because my my hair was everywhere, and we're going away tomorrow, so we had to get everything else.
Where are you going?
Just going down the shore, but shore? Cape May.
Cape May.
I love Cape May. Cape May's awesome.
Do you serenade her in the car on the way down?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what serenade means. I get yelled at a lot on the way down. Do you have change for the tolls or whatever? Next thing you know, it blows into something you can't imagine. So I guess you could say that's serenade. But
you're not packing the car seats and the beach toys. So listen,
no.
All right. I don't have car seats anymore. I'll say that. But the beach toys and the footballs and the goggles and the noodles and the buckets and the shovels, it really gets old.
Well, so our little guy's 35 years old, so we're not really,
Wait, he brings a different kind of bucket to the beach. Yeah. He brings his, tequila and his rum bucket.
Well, he'll be driving down with his girlfriend, I guess. They already have a place down there, but we'll see them at least one day. But it's, we're looking forward to just getting away a little bit. I'm coming back up to do some shows next week, but, I love the summer. It's going way too fast. And I love obviously our show and we got another great show planned. If you will, Marla, would you like to introduce our guest, or would you like me to introduce our guest? Because I personally have done some phenomenal research on this gentleman and this professional.
Did you just hear what just happened right there? He's like, Marla, would you like to make the introduction? But I'm really going to take that back real quick. So, Joe D, I would love for you to make that introduction.
Okay, well, then I will be happy to do it. He's a linguist. Is that what we and a language specialist? Somebody who is not only an outstanding attorney, but does it well in several different dialects and in languages. So I'm ecstatic to bring onto the program Curlin Hippolyte, who's an associate at Afonso, Archie and Foley. Curlin, how are you, sir?
Wonderful. Thank you for the great introduction.
I don't think I could have done that any better.
Well, let me just state this. Curlin called me last night and he hit me with about $100 cash. Yeah. So I get that.
I'm just kidding.
I told him, I said, listen, you have to make it sound exciting. You have to add some spice
to it. Pay me a lot of money for that introduction.
Yeah.
Can you, at the very least, introduce Who just walked in the studio. Well, she looks familiar, and she's been on the broadcast.
Did you see Beyonce walking in this studio right now? I thought this was a radio show.
That?
Look at that outfit. Yeah. She's not in radio clothes. Yeah, this is like, television clothes.
That's
I'm
what I'm
thinking
talking.
This is a radio show. Everybody's coming up looking like Hollywood. I'm thinking, I thought this was radio, right?
Listen, I am in radio for that reason. We got Mike Vito on producing in the house. Lots going to go. Yeah.
Listen, I got to tell you, look, it's a mental thing. Mm-hmm. I still have to brush my hair in the morning. I know we all, you know, you think radio, you want to come in sweats and that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm going straight from today to how many meetings we have in the city lined up and then a Phillies game tonight.
Yes.
So
tell
I
you what, but wait a minute. Who are they playing tonight?
Braves.
So, okay. They played the Yankees last night and, so they're back in Philly, I guess. I mean, it's
they better be. I'm going to the game.
They're only coming. I guess they're driving down the turnpike because they were in New York last night.
But listen, it's going to be a full night tonight, and I can't wait. Yeah. The one thing though, my son has like the lineup. He's like,
oh, is he excited?
I want to get an autograph from Harper. I want to do this.
You better hope he's in the lineup tonight.
I know, poor kid.
He was going for an X-ray. We'll see what happened. That didn't look like it. That was a nasty foul ball.
It was.
Oh, really?
Oh, last night, Harper.
Wow.
Yeah, Harper.
I didn't see.
He hit a foul ball off his foot.
Oh, man.
But you know what? He'll be at the game, so maybe he'll get in. Yeah, I remember we went. Interesting you say that because when Harper came to Philly, he played. So my wife and I went to one of the games, and he had played obviously in like, I don't know, the first 30. He took one night off, and that was the night we went, right? It was like his only night off, you know, for the whole first part of the season. But
listen, if
he'll be in the house.
If he's not there and we don't get the autograph, as long as we get a Phillies hat filled with ice cream, I think we'll be all right.
Now that to me is that's my requirement.
I mean, that's my requirement.
There's nothing like obviously the custard at the game and
nothing like
it. It's always nice when they get a W. Last night's game was a cluster. My God.
Yeah.
I mean,
what was the final on that?
It was 6-5. It was. Yeah. Let me just say.
I like the Yankees, though.
Carolyn, before we get into your career and we talk about
the eye roll from the inside studio over here.
You like the Yankees?
I love the Yankees.
I'm a Yankees fan, also. Yeah. I'm a bigger,
your show's done. You're cut short. Get out.
Thanks for joining us here. It's been great.
But listen,
welcome to the Carolyn and Aerie Show, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Welcome. Listen, right now.
We just got booted.
I just got booted. That
was the end of us.
She can't boot me. Are you serious? Listen to me.
She just booted both of us.
No, listen. She can't boot anybody.
That was a segue.
All I have to say is two words.
What?
Derek Jeter.
Listen, I'm a Derek Jeter fan.
I just like the fact that you said Carolyn and Aerie Show. I really appreciate that. Carolyn and Aerie Show. She's so humble. She could have said.
She just made her own introduction.
Wait a second. Hold on.
I got the bumper music.
We're talking about Aerie here, right? So let me just say something about that. She seems humble now. She just threw us off. You could be next.
It's
the Kerwin and Aerie Show. By what time is it?
That's right.
10:30.
Listen, never trust the Aerie Show. Never trust the girl who walks in with ruffles.
Ruffles.
All right. She got ruffles going on her skirt.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Who wears ruffles?
And
she pulls it off like it's like adorable. Well, oh, can't take it.
I wear them, but only in the privacy of my own home. Just kidding. Just kidding. God bless you.
So I have to make the official introduction. So she's my partner in crime. Ari Arnone is one of our account executives for Synergy Pharmacy, and she is a rock star. I mean, listen, she's not as rocky of a star as I am because I can't just say that, you know. No, she is. She's amazing. I love her to death. And she is a rock star beyond.
And she's great on the radio. She's been here and
she hasn't said anything yet, and she already has her own show.
She does.
She didn't even speak yet.
What I love was how smooth it was. All right. Well, so what I meant by the Yankees is I like them as my American League team, but of course they don't do anything.
We got a big battle on our hands then, Joe, because I like the big bad Red Sox from up north.
You know what's weird about that? I like the Red Sox a little too. Of course, I'm a Phillies fan, so that's the way we roll.
But 2003 and 2004 were epic. We'll leave it at that.
What's that?
I said 2003 and 2004 were epic.
See, I don't remember them. You know what? I was celebrating then, too.
2003, Aaron Boone walk-off home run in Game 7 of the ALCS. Wow. 2004, Red Sox come back the following year, go down 0-3.
They
win eight straight, really, because they won four straight against the Yankees and then won the World Series.
It was one of the great... I mean, I was rooting for the Red Sox then because
finally broke the curse.
Because of the curse. But I'll tell you, I remember what we were doing the night the Boston Red Sox lost to the Mets in the World Series with the Buckner play. And by the way, that I don't care what anybody says, that series had nothing to do with Bill Buckner. They literally were Calvin Schiraldi blew that game. But my point is, I remember coming in and the Mets won the World Series. It was crazy. But anyway, this is not a baseball show. Let's do this. I want to bring in.
What kind of show is this, by the way?
I guess we're going anyway. Curlin wants to go.
What?
Curlin, if you would introduce yourself to our listeners, and tell you a little bit about your law practice and the firm.
Okay, that's my be a pleasure to do so. So my name is Curlin Hippolyte. I am an attorney at law. I practice in New Jersey, but the firm practices in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. We have a practice centered on child care and where we protect people who have child care protective services trying to involve themselves in their lives, right? So a lot of times you have people who are involved with these agencies and they don't know what their rights are regarding their children. So our firm provides help with that. We also provide help with criminal defense, estate planning, family law, and real estate.
Okay, and some immigration?
Absolutely. We also do immigration as well.
Okay, so I did a little homework here, and so you're a language specialist. So talk about that.
Okay, so before I went to law school, I majored in Spanish in undergrad, and I taught Spanish for a while. I really enjoyed that because I had a knack for languages even in high school. So my parents are from Haiti, right? And I was born in the United States, but I was raised in Haiti. So while I was in Haiti, I learned Haitian Creole, which is the language that people speak in Haiti. And I also learned how to speak French because they also speak that there. Both of those languages are Romance languages. And if you know one Romance language, it's easy to learn the other Romance languages like Italian, Portuguese, Catalan. And so while I was in high school, I developed that appreciation for languages. So I learned Spanish. I learned Italian, Portuguese. And, to supplement my income, before I actually was an attorney, I was an interpreter for the courts.
Oh, my God.
Right? So in the United States, anytime someone goes to court, if you don't speak English, you have the right to an interpreter. Right? They cannot have the legal proceedings without someone there to provide a translation of or an interpretation, rather, of what happens in the courtroom. So that's what I used to do before that. And I used to see all the attorneys in the courtroom and I said, I could do this too, right? So I applied to go to law school, and that's how I became an attorney.
Well, real quick, so wow. Is that only if English is not your primary language? Or like if you're bilingual, mm-hmm. And let's say, Spanish is your primary language and English is your second, do you still get an interpreter just because of, the wording and things like that? Mm-hmm. If Spanish is your primary language, it would be more difficult to interpret law through English if it was your second. So do they provide translation services for that?
Absolutely. So if your main language is Spanish, if your main language is, Italian, and you happen to speak a little bit of English,
they still treat you that you would need a translator.
Exactly. Okay. Because the nature of the proceedings are so serious, they don't want you to get by on broken English or, some English that's not, at a higher level. Just because you understand some words, the courts would still provide you with an interpreter because of how serious the proceedings are, right? You can imagine someone having their whole life changed and looking back and saying, I just didn't understand.
I missed that word.
Yeah, I didn't realize that guilty.
Hold on, ready. Guilty or not guilty?
Yeah, it's like, I didn't know what guilty meant.
Listen, English is my primary language and I miss words here and there. And I'm like, what did he say? Mm-hmm. All right, listen, how many languages is this?
I don't know, but I have a feeling if you say something, If it's too big a word, even in English on this show, I'm not going to know it. I want to be looking at around the table going, but the two that you really got to get are, guilty and not guilty. I'm guilty as hell, and I want to get out of here.
This makes me think of, I get my nails done, and I have the most elegant Asian ladies on the planet.
But you don't understand what they're saying, right?
I love it. They're the best, and they speak English too, right? But they speak Vietnamese mm-hmm. is like their primary country. So I know when something's up because the other one comes over and then they start whispering in their language.
Well, that's the Seinfeld episode.
I pretend and I'm just looking back and forth like, And I shake my head, and then they start looking at me strange, like, I think she knows what we're talking about. Yeah. And then I actually broke the news, and I said I took Vietnamese as, like, you know, another language when I was in college.
Wow.
So I totally get what you're saying. And they're like, oh, okay, you want blue or pink? I'm like, all right, maybe not.
Listen, here's the thing. Yeah, certainly, you know, as an attorney that you speak that many languages, one of the most important things. And I know, by the way, you guys do PI also. Now that's one of your specialties also. I wanted to obviously throw that out there just because you guys do so many things. But having said that, representing clients that are, different nationalities, different backgrounds, different languages, having that background in so many languages, how does that impact your practice? Because obviously when it comes to representing clients and that trust factor, the language barrier, if there's not somebody at the firm that speaks, their language, it could be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, whenever someone's seeking legal representation, you want to make sure that the parties understand each other, right? You can imagine a situation where even if you speak English well, because of your education level, because of your culture, that you may not understand your attorney, and your attorney may not understand you. And whenever you have that breakdown in understanding, it's always going to be difficult to represent that person, because how can you defend someone who you don't understand?
Right. Yeah.
And that lack of understanding increases when you have a language barrier, right? And when you have someone who all they speak is English, or all they speak is Spanish, or all they speak is French, and now they're in this legal situation in the United States of America, and now they have to hire an attorney. The attorney may not understand them, and if the attorney relies on, you know, their, you know, freshman year French class, thinking that, you know, that's going to carry them through, that sometimes can result in great injustice, because someone who is overconfident in their ability to understand a client, mm-hmm, can cause problems. So the difference between, you know, me and other people is that I'm actually a certified language specialist, right? So I used to work for Homeland Security as a language specialist, translating, federal documents, interpreting for federal proceedings. And so there's a difference between someone who's a language specialist and someone who just happens to know a language,
right,
from, you know, high school and things like that.
So to your point, I was actually just having a conversation with a Portuguese-speaking person who, that's her primary language. Her English is, you know, más o menos.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought a car. It was used. And now she doesn't really know what the ramifications are because she has a lemon on her hands, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I really didn't understand the contract that I was signing,
mm-hmm,
that said you're taking the car as is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. So I was just thinking about that as you were saying that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real issue. I wonder if, as an attorney, can
that be construed as taking advantage of somebody? I mean, you know, if they don't understand the actual mm-hmm language in the contract simply, mm-hmm, because they don't, mm-hmm, you know, they're not really English speaking.
Yeah. So generally speaking, when you sign a contract, it's presumed that you understand the contents of the contract. Unfortunately, it's not as easy to just say, oh, well, I didn't understand what was on the contract, to undo the contract. Contract law is there to protect everybody's expectation. It's to protect the seller. It's to protect the buyer. And if you have a framework where someone can simply say, I didn't know what was on there, to undo it, that's going to, you know,
cause problems.
Yeah, that's going to cause problems. But yeah, if you are someone who's been a victim, if you really, you know, didn't know what was going on, if someone pressured you into doing it, if the language on there is so complicated that no reasonable person could understand it, there may be an avenue where you can challenge it and be successful.
But I'm assuming it would have to be an obvious deception.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a case-by-case scenario, and, you know, it's always worth exploring, especially if the violation is severe, but people do get taken advantage of, especially people who don't speak English. I mean, people who speak English, don't understand some of the stuff that's in the contracts.
Well, that's what I was thinking as I'm having this conversation, yeah. right? Because right. you're given 10,000 pages of paper to sign when you buy a car.
Right.
Now, my husband's an engineer. Okay. David. Well,
he's got it locked
reads
down.
Every single line of the contract. Wow. And I rely on that, and I'm grateful that he does. Yeah, because yeah. I'm like, sign and drive, baby. Yeah. Sign and drive, right?
Yeah. yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, no question about it.
Well, I mean, the words as is always throws a flag up for me. Because I bought a house as is. And
oh, boy.
Yeah. It was like the money pit when we first got in there. Yeah. And we had inspectors roll through. We had people, you know, looking at the cracks of the ceiling. Like, is everything okay? And little things like, you know, the HVAC system broke day one, another 5,000, another this, another that. So they were all fixable problems. But when you see as is, even if it's a car, it's basically saying, like, if this wheel falls off, you're on your own.
Yeah.
So, you know, that to me implies, okay, anything can happen. When you sign as is, they should at least list some of the things that they're acknowledging is already a problem. To me, it's like a mystery.
Right. Like, and no question about it. Yeah. And but that language barrier is I mean, and you know, is in the legal community is important. Some, you know, the fact that your firm doesn't have that, the fact that you, you know, not only are you know, try, I don't know how many lingual you are, but the bottom line is that you're also multicultural, which
absolutely.
Which really has to be a great benefit because you're not just speaking the language because you learned it in college. You grew up in Haiti and there's several languages that, you know, kind of intertwine and that is that a major plus, especially because trust and word of mouth is a big deal.
I think it's always a benefit to understand different perspectives, different cultures, because you know, when you're an attorney, you deal with so many people from different backgrounds.
No, I don't mean you.
No,
I know you. I'm talking about the client because the client wants to feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
But then not just some guy like me walking in going, see, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, totally. And so, yeah, so the client definitely benefits from having an attorney who's multicultural, who understands different ways of looking at things. And it's really all about relatability, right?
Yep.
When you meet someone and they understand the references you make, they understand the food that you eat, they understand different things about you personally.
Background.
Your background. It makes the relationship more fluid, a little easier, right? There's less friction when you don't have to overcome this, you know, this person is an alien to me, right? You don't have that issue. So that's a benefit from growing up, how I grew up. I spent time in Haiti, although I was born in the United States, and you know, all of my formal education, you know, regarding my degrees, I obtained them in the United States. But growing up in Haiti gave me that understanding that the range of people who exist in the world, and that definitely really cool. is something that helps people.
Yeah. I also feel like it gave you, in speaking with you, you know, several times now, a great deal of compassion for the people that exist in the world. And I think that the world needs more of that, you know, not jumping to judge each other, actually jumping to care,
seeing
to aid for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's
to
a great
see
point.
All sides.
So I just have to say this too. I mean, it's to your point that you were saying earlier. So my father was an immigrant from Palermo, Sicily, and he, you know, obviously Sicilian was his primary language. And then he came here at 16 and learned English very late. He was already, you know, in 10th grade. And then he dropped out of school because he had such a difficulty with that. But people would speak to him. Then eventually English became more of his primary language, but he spoke a little broken. And people would talk to him like he was stupid. And I've witnessed it just as a growing child and adult. And or they would talk like slow and loud. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with him. Okay, you know, he
tried moving up here from Georgia.
Yeah, you know,
I had
like
a very thick accent, and this guy asked me if I fell off the turnip truck, and I said,
boy.
"We're known for our peaches, honey."
Oh wow!
Right?
Yeah,
right.
You know,
turn still magnolia.
That's the thing. Like, it's offensive, and
you
don't realize that there's like a discriminatory, you know, little not to break open a can of worms, but I'm saying there's.
It's interesting because I grew up in a working class, tough neighborhood, and. Mm-hmm. We had a kid who came. I know he's from Italy, and he spoke broken English. And I mean, I guess it was back in the 70s, and you know, it was a rough neighborhood. I don't care where you were from, but it was really rough for him because you know he didn't understand the language, and some of the kids. I mean, he got bullied, and you know, it's thinking back on it now, It's obviously shameful of epic proportions. Let me just jump into this. You deal with a lot of family law. Pandemic just obviously, you know, we're coming to obviously the end of COVID-19, where obviously there's other variants and lots of stuff going around. But you're talking about a year and a half at one point, or at least a year and 6, 8, 10, 12 months of people being in the house with their, you know, significant other. Lots of stress, sometimes money problems and all that. And I know you deal with custody issues and all those things. And you talk about, you know, support and all those things. But did the family court area, did that spike heavily? I mean, it seemed like, we had some attorneys on the broadcast and their business was going through the roof.
Yeah.
Because it was such a stressful time.
Yeah, absolutely. Coronavirus, the lockdown regulations requiring people to be at home more, that definitely put a lot of strain on a lot of families, right? For a lot of people, going to work is an escape.
Mm-hmm.
Many people look forward to going to work because it provides them an opportunity to escape from the stress at home. And now for many families,
yeah, working remotely,
mm-hmm. you know, for many families, you remove that stress. All of a sudden,
Joe D looks at me like, because he knows went through. I couldn't wait the countdown for the radio show because I'm like, listen, yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
Like this morning, my son was starting with his crap and bah, 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 yeah. And then my daughter comes in. Mom, he just pushed me. And I'm like, guys, I cannot wait to go to work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like seriously.
Some people, you like them in small doses.
Right.
And coronavirus has forced people to get more doses of people. Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, you're at home and you're looking at the person.
But it's like, also a social balance.
I don't like you that much. Why am I with you so much?
Let me tell you. And I'll tell you, just recovering from that whole process. I mean, I remember I went from my one, my career in the nightclub business for 15 years. Where I was rarely home, which I wasn't home enough. And now in the business I'm in, and then you throw the pandemic in, I'm not only working remotely, I'm doing shows from the house and everybody's stepping on one another on the air. But my point is, you're just getting beat up by the news constantly. How did that impact your business though? In other words, as a family attorney who handles situations like that, what were the impacts? More divorces, more custody, people out of work. So I'm sure whoever's the breadwinner who was paying the
divorces
support
went on a surge.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about those areas and how they were impacted.
So divorce went up. You got more people calling in, inquiring about divorce. Domestic violence went up.
Yeah, and suicide.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Domestic violence went up for sure. People were having more fights at home. You also had custody issues as well, right? I mean, because anytime you have a divorce question, if there's children involved, then people start talking about that as well. So we started getting a lot of people asking about that. And, you know, money is one of the lead reasons for divorce, right? When people are polled after their divorce and they say, hey, what was the reason? The number one reason is money. And so when COVID started and people were not able to make as much money as they were making before, I believe that's also in addition
it's
to
a major stressor,
having to be around somebody.
Yeah.
But we've helped a lot of people with their domestic violence issues. We've helped, a lot of people with their family law issues, with their divorce issues. And you know, that's what the legal process is here for, right? And the good thing about it is nowadays, many jurisdictions are doing remote court. So you can have your proceeding without having to physically go to the courtroom, without having to be there talking to the clerk. Nowadays, many proceedings are happening over the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a great benefit for clients. And it's also a great benefit for the attorneys because they can help you and they can help more people from their office.
Right. I mean, you know, you have a new normal and you talk about technology and Mar, you know, like we've talked about it many times, different area, so in different areas of with the pandemic, with everything that's hit with loss of jobs and industry, different areas of business and careers have been hit. Okay, so at one point in time, I was in hospitality with the nightclub, and my wife was in the hair business. This is obviously for 20, 30 years of our life. We both, I switched and I sold my business in 2015 and segued, and my wife retired from what she was doing. Had we still been both in hospitality and in the hair business, who knows? I mean, the stress level, my heart gave out.
Hair business, though, I have to say, like, if you did hair,
a lot of people did them at home.
They did it at home. I was even doing hair, and I don't even do hair. And I was like, not that I would never accept money from anybody for a bad haircut that I would give, but I never did give a bad one. I'm not kidding you. I literally put a chair out in my driveway, and I did a couple good cuts for Santino, my son, and then his friends, and then the friends' dads were like, can you cut my hair? I cut an attorney's hair, too.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Ben Smith. Yeah, I said, Ben, are you sure? Because, you know, listen, I know you got to appear somewhere sometime soon.
If it was me, I'd put a ball on her head and just shave around it.
But listen, I did pretty good. But what I'm saying is, to your point, yes, the hospitality industry definitely took a hit. Anything entertainment-wise was considered not necessary. It wasn't
occupancy use.
Yeah.
And so we weren't allowed to do it. But I guess my point also is this. The law got hit in a lot of different – it's such a diverse – community. So you have, in regards to specialties, PI, work comp, criminal defense, all these areas of the law, and they got hit differently. So workers' compensation didn't get hit as bad as personal injury. Why? Because personal injury has the jury trials, which got shut down. And so, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about technology and the new, like you talk about remotely and how you were able to represent your clients. We're going to talk about how it hit family law and those areas. We're going to have more from the Kerwin and Eric. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You had it right, Joe.
Wait.
I blew that already.
Come on.
I know.
You're trying to create division. This is how he does it.
You're putting us on a boat down the Delaware.
Damn.
Kerwin and Eric will be right back.
All
right.
You know? We're going to have more from the Pro Hour with Marla Vitarello.
And Joe D.
And we're sponsored by Synergy Pharmacy after the break.
Monty wouldn't be here if it wasn't for St. Jude. Everything was perfect until that day when she was 5 weeks old.
That's when, you know, every parent's worst nightmare kind of came into fruition. So there was a fairly large and aggressive brain tumor, but St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us the ultimate gift in this world, which was hope restored. When, you know, me and my wife were here, there was not a single other care in the world except for Imani. St. Jude made that happen.
And she's tumor-free now. She's growing. She's just a happy child.
The second we arrived here, we had food, housing, transportation, treatment, you name it. It was taken care of by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So the people who donate to St. Jude, you know, I just want them to know that I don't think anyone in this world or anything in this world has given me a greater gift. We came as two desperate parents, and they saved our daughter's life.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Suffering a work injury or a personal injury can be a very traumatizing experience, particularly when your local pharmacy refuses to fill your prescriptions. This won't happen with Synergy Pharmacy. Synergy Pharmacy is a workers' compensation and personal injury pharmacy focused on providing high-quality physician-prescribed medications to injured individuals, even if the case is in litigation. Synergy Pharmacy works on behalf of their clients to get their medications quickly processed and delivered directly to their homes within 24 to 48 hours, and there are no out-of-pocket costs to the patient. Synergy Pharmacy is a family-owned pharmacy that cares about injured workers and those suffering from personal injuries such as motor vehicles or other types of injuries. At Synergy Pharmacy, the patient comes first. That's Synergy Pharmacy at www.synergyscripts.com. That's synergyscripts.com. Call 484-328-4700.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to connect with the world around you. Now, Imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
Disability is not inability. A person's ability may be different, but still an ability. No matter one's race or age, no matter one's physical or mental condition, we all have limitless possibilities. For more than 100 years, Easterseals has helped the 1 in 4 people with disabilities in America live, work, learn, and play. I'm Angela Williams, CEO of Easterseals.
For more information, visit easterseals.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Pro to Pro Hour with Marla Vittorello. We've got a fantastic show here in the studio. Ari's here. It's great to have Ari on the
program. Ari's not really here.
She's here.
No, she's not.
No, I'm here, honey.
This is not the Curlin and Ari show. Let's get that straight.
And of course, she's just derailing the show. Attorney
trademark it.
We have attorney Curlin Hippolyte of Alfonso, Archie, and Foley, outstanding law firm.
Shout out to Al Alfonso, by the way.
Right.
Okay. He's like amazing. You have to meet this guy.
Yeah, he's great.
He's how I met Curlin.
Yep.
He loves to go to Cafe Aldo Lamberti, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't just go there. He goes there like 5 times a week.
He runs the place.
He does his business meetings there. He orders the best food. I mean, their food is just amazing as it is, right?
Weren't we supposed to have a pre-production show there?
Listen, no, I'm not kidding. There's a special table for him outside of the restaurant with grapevines surrounding it, and people come out and bring him the food out there.
Shout out to Al Alfonso.
We love you, Al.
Love it.
Albert Alfonso.
Absolutely. we were talking about technology and you know, doing Zoom, hearings and stuff like that. Talk about how family law, the practice of family law has been impacted in regards to technologically through this, you know, that has kept you guys afloat, you've been able to represent your clients through the technology and all those things.
Okay, so absolutely. So when COVID-19 hit and the lockdown measures started being imposed, this had a ripple effect throughout every area of law, right? So in family law, you had families that there was already a routine, a visitation schedule in place, right?
Yep.
Mom and dad are separated, but mom brings child to father every other Friday, or mother brings child to father or vice versa every other Friday. But when COVID-19 hit, you started seeing a lot of people saying, well, I don't want to bring my kid over there. What if they have COVID?
Right.
I don't want them coming over my house. What if they have COVID?
Good point.
So you had a lot of parents who were legitimately concerned.
For sure.
But then you had some parents who just wanted to stick it to the other parent.
Sure.
And use COVID-19 as an excuse. So you had a lot of people going to court.
By the way, it sounds like a fine line, man.
It's a fine line. You don't know.
Can't prove that.
You don't know what the person's intent is. And so we had a lot of cases at the beginning of people arguing that, my child's mother is not bringing the child to me. They're arguing that because of COVID, they're not doing it. You had people trying to file motions against the other parent because they're arguing that the parent was not following COVID protocols, right? That a mom is taking the child to a vacation that I don't approve of. But a lot of that stuff, and I'm sure some of it was legitimate, but a lot of it was fueled by jealousy, right? I see you on vacation child with another man. That makes me feel bad. I'm going to file a motion and argue that you're violating COVID protocol.
Well, it's interesting you say that. So I have a feeling that I'm going to say this, and I'm pretty sure that they're not listening right now because I know they're at work. But when my brother got divorced, he would say to me, this was 20 some years ago.
Okay.
So I don't think it's over the line. But he would say every time his ex-wife thought he was doing great, she would you know, come at him hard. And he said he was never doing great, but he would, but you know, like, you know, he was not trying to, you know, cry
financial,
poor mouth, right?
You're saying, right?
I mean, and anything.
Because I see.
She was going through a lot, and so was he. And, but when they see each other, they're, you know, obviously they're not trying to, you know, cry poor mouth or whatever. It was like 25, 30 years ago, whatever, 25 years ago. And they all get along great now. And we go to family gatherings and everything's fantastic. They have grandkids. But that's my point is, along the lines of what you're saying, but, you know, one spouse thinks the other, you know, one ex thinks the other ex is doing good or whatever, and they're not doing good. He said to me, I'm never going to go and say I'm doing good again because it just got him in hot water. Because he, you know, even if he was just going through the motions, but that makes a lot of sense. Because people were isolated. They see the ex doing that. Next thing you know, how do you handle, by the way, what is your disposition? How do you handle that type of an emotional, you know, like, you know, I guess almost storm on a constant basis as an attorney? How do you handle that, you know, and do you also sometimes have to deal with those emotions from the other side of the other attorney?
Absolutely. So when a person comes to you and they have an emotional issue regarding their children, right? I mean, you have someone who's coming to you and they're saying, my spouse or my former spouse is not following the proper protocols with my child, right? Mm-hmm. And so now you have a parent who's legitimately afraid that their ex is going to have their child in a position where the child is going to catch COVID or put the child in a position where the child will become a spreader of COVID.
Sure.
And so now the person comes to you and says, how can you help? And the way you address it is you listen to them, you look at the facts, you don't assume that they're lying, you listen to them with empathy, because at the end of the day, this is one of the most important things to a person is their children.
Absolutely.
And so you try your best to help them. And so, and then when you go to court, you try to argue to the judge that your client's position is the right position. But most importantly, you argue that your client's position is in the best interest of the child, right? It's not about a victor. In family court situations that have children at the center of it, it's not about a victory for your client. If you try to approach it like that, you're not going to be successful. You approach it with what we're asking for is in the best interest of the child. And that's what the basis of you know, law is when it comes to family matters regarding children.
So I have a question about that because, I mean, I've seen this. We've all seen this. This isn't something that is so, you know, on the other side of the world for each of us. I'm sure we could all name a personal friend or family member that have went through either a divorce and had some type of law of fueling war between, you know, both parents, and they're trying to co-parent and things like that. Did you ever in your gut, so now you're representing a client and I feel like I can ask you this because I feel like you're a very honest person.
10,000 people listening.
Yeah, it's like no big deal.
This is very intimate.
But no, I'm serious. Right. This might put you on the spot a little bit, but I feel like this is a question that somebody would want to know. If you're representing a client and they're asking you to do something that they believe is in the best interest of the child, but you personally have a feeling in your gut and they're asking you to move forward a motion that is against your own ethics and morals, but they're saying it's in the best interest of their child, but you don't know that that's true. How do you separate your professional stance in representing a case and then dealing with your moral side? And we can even put this into criminal law too, when you're defending someone and you're like saying to yourself, damn, is this guy innocent or guilty? That was always a question that I feel like people will ask that because
keep in mind your bosses are listening, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, but I know, I feel comfortable asking that because he's so ethically sound that I feel like you would be that type of person to actually counsel with your client and sort of talk them off the ledge when they start getting spiteful and a pissing match, so to speak, where, you know, you almost have to refocus somebody and say you have to pick and choose your battles. Like, how do you think this will impact the kid? Like, do you do those kind of conversations with people? Because I've seen some really crazy
where emotion gets
stuff.
In the way.
Yeah, and they get lawyers involved, and I'm like, your lawyer went along with this where it's going to hurt a kid, or like, you know, so you don't even have to speak about yourself. Yeah. You can, you know, relate that to something else.
No, so I met a judge once, and the judge said something to me that was so powerful. The judge said to a couple, a former couple in a courtroom, the judge said to the litigants, I don't know your family. This is the judge speaking. I don't know your family. These attorneys that you hired don't know your family the way that both of you all know your family. Now you're in a situation because of a disagreement where you're in a situation now where you're involving all these other people who don't know the intricacies of your relationship, and you're putting them in position to make
decisions.
Yeah. And you're putting a judge in a position who doesn't know anybody,
right?
Who's probably least in the least position to know to make these decisions. And I kind of approach the same thing with my client, right? Where I say, look, obviously, if something is obviously wrong and it's obviously unethical and it's obviously not in the best interest of the child, I advise my clients not to do it as an attorney, but I also advise as a human being.
Yes.
Not well, to do something.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's, you know, because I'm a nurse, so, and I've been practicing for years, and you know, I'm not practicing right now as a nurse, but I see things that it's an educational piece that we have to bring to the patient, and also being in law, you know, working for law firms and seeing all this stuff where you have to almost counsel people and be their friend too and say, listen, you don't want to go down that rabbit hole, because you go down that rabbit hole, you're not coming back.
Well, I also think that it's interesting, but it, you know, and as an attorney, I mean, I think we've talked to attorneys, and a lot of attorneys have to be personal counselors as well as legal counselors, just as a friend. But obviously as somebody who's in the middle of the storm, I imagine
it's
that
rage and it's spite work and it's this is mine and you know
exactly. And so, Kerwin, when I imagine that happens a lot, where somebody comes in with an emotional response that probably isn't in the best interest of anybody, but you know that emotion at that moment. In other words, I'm sure you have to talk people off of ledges on it, and I don't mean that, and I mean that in sort of like, you know, I'm not just saying it literally, but and get them to kind of get a hold of themselves. Does that happen a decent amount?
That happens a lot, and the attorney has a responsibility to create their own boundaries, right? Some attorneys, you can only talk to them during business hours. And even when you get the opportunity to speak to them, it's very short.
What can clients expect when they retain you guys?
So we try to create as many opportunities for communication as possible, right? We talk over the phone, we talk via email, we do video consultations, right? When someone wants to meet with us and for some reason we can't do it in person, we have our consultations over Zoom. We have a way for our clients to text message us. So maybe they don't have access to their email. Maybe they don't have access to a phone. They can't talk, but they have a question. They can text message our number. And if they text message our number, we actually respond back and let them know what they need to do, right? And that message is open 24/7. And if we're in the office, if I'm in the office and someone calls and it's 9 p.m., if I see the person's number call, I don't say to myself, well, you know, I can talk to them later on. If I see the number there and I'm available to pick up, I pick up, or someone from the staff picks up, right? So we really want to create as many opportunities for communication as possible. If anybody wants to text message the office number, right, with a question regarding a legal consult, the number is 856-786-7000. That number is a number that people can text message.
Can you say that again, Carolyn?
But in your radio voice.
I didn't hear that.
You want to hear the
right? That was slick. Yeah. Listen, maybe this is the Kerwin Airy show. I don't know.
There was.
I
mean, sliding right in.
They got me right in. That was like sliding
in. Go ahead,
Kerwin.
In your best radio voice. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Let's hear it. 856-786-7000. Ladies and gentlemen who are listening.
Oh,
we did not disappoint. Kerwin and Airy show is gathering steam.
That's because you're watching too much TV.
WWDB Talk.
You all have to see, first of all, let's paint a picture for the audience of how Kerwin looks, okay? Kerwin is a very sophisticated, handsome man with his glasses, and he's got his nice pop the collar shirt.
Wow.
You don't have to pop the collar, but listen, he's got, look at the jewelry on his arm. How beautiful. Now, I love when guys wear nice jewelry. It's very, classy.
Let me borrow that real quick.
Listen, Joe, where's your jewelry?
Oh, I got one right here.
You better wear that one every
way,
day, man.
Time out. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Let me tell you what I loved about when I went to the website. And I got a little bit of Kerwin's background. It's very impressive, legal background, professional, and all that. But it says husband on there.
And I like that.
By the way, that was awesome. That's the quality human being we're talking about right here. So I would say this. I would want somebody, not that I'm thinking about it, hon, I didn't come this far to lose half everything I own. Because I don't want a Kerwin on the other side either. Yeah. But having said that, you want somebody, especially in a family law situation, who values his own family. When I saw you know, your specialties and it said husband there, I'm thinking to myself, this dude's a quality human being and not only a great legal Curlin, representative.
Is there little Curlins in the picture?
No little Curlins in the picture. No. I'm only big Curlin in the picture right now.
Oh. How long have you been married?
We've been married since 2017, August 19, 2017.
Aww.
Our anniversary is coming up.
Congratulations. You still love each other then.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. It's not hold on.
After 20 years, you'll always love the person. But sometimes, like, you know, how you said, like, your domestic abuse cases went up a little bit. I thought about it.
Hold on for a second. No, first of all, her husband's right out of GQ magazine. He's like 6'4".
He's a handsome little man. No, he is.
She's talking about attacking him.
But listen, he wouldn't stand a chance if he raised a hand to me. But listen, you know, getting back to real quick, during COVID, okay, he was chewing carrots too loud. Yeah. And eating hummus too loud.
Oh,
so, like, the little things in life.
That's grounds for divorce right there.
I'm telling you, and give him a kettle potato chip, I'm hanging myself. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, it's like the little things.
Guy.
It's like irritability. Yeah. Your irritability is up when your stress is up. And the fear
you know what was invented over, in obviously over COVID? TikTok. I got more TikToks on my phone. I'm surprised they're not coming in now. Right?
Have you seen my TikTok account?
I haven't, but I know my wife's is.
You need to go to my TikTok account because there's a lot of stuff on there during COVID that we were bored to death.
Some pretty funny stuff, but no. But I mean, having that experience, you know, empathy, that, you know, and being in a situation where you're, you know, obviously you're happily married. By the way, we've had arguments longer than 2017, me and my wife. You got married in 2017.
Well, listen, there's no
1985.
Kids. But listen, Joe, there's no kids in the picture yet. So they're building their foundation.
Right.
So that when they have their children.
Right, exactly.
They're ready to kill each other during those nights. Like they're ready.
Delayed gratification.
Yeah, they're building their foundation so they make it through the storm.
Right. Exactly. Well, listen, having said that, though.
Can you imagine being married to a divorce attorney and family law?
Well, we're both attorneys.
Oh, dang.
What's her special? I was waiting for you to mention that.
If you don't mind, you can give your wife a shout out.
So my wife is Courtney Munnings, right? She's an associate at a Troutman, and she practices commercial litigation.
Okay.
And so we're both attorneys, and that really adds a great deal of
debating
energy to our relationship.
Energy. I said fire. But listen, so at least there are different areas of specialty.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if you were two physicians and one was like a GYN and one was like, you know, a urologist, you'd have two different areas of practice. So you wouldn't necessarily debate on those issues because that's your area of specialty and hers.
Yeah.
Although we could probably find a
budget. So we got about 3 minutes left. And I want to obviously. Your contact information at the firm, even though we're not done yet, I want to make sure you get it all out. The name of the firm, your contact, if our listeners want to get in touch.
Absolutely. So the name of the firm is Afonso Archie and Foley. That's Afonso Archie and Foley. We're located in Cinnaminson, New Jersey, and the number is 856-786-7000. That's 856-786-7000. And my name is Curlin Hippolyte.
All right. Awesome. This way, we have a full 2 minutes left. But Marla Synergy Pharmacy makes all this happen. We're really appreciative of that. Injured workers and individuals out there who are going through it in any situation. The beautiful thing about Synergy Pharmacy is painful sometimes as the process can be with the workers' compensation provider. They don't have to worry about that with Synergy Pharmacy.
Yeah, that's right. And our website is synergyscripts.com. It's best to just go to our website. All of our contact information is there. If you were injured in a workers' compensation accident or motor vehicle, we're happy to help. We're a regional practice with Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, and New York. So, you know, not to say we can't help other people in other states. So we're happy to do it.
Ari, anything for the road?
I'm just politicking for the Carolyn and Ari show still.
You already went to number two there, Big Daddy.
Yeah, the train hasn't left.
We created a monster. You know,
our sales guy's around the corner. We can get him in. We can negotiate for him.
You got the big dogs already on your side. You just leveraged it on
him. He's turning on us.
We're going to go blank. I know. Listen, we're going to go blank.
I don't care.
What do we got left, Mike? 2 minutes? All right, so cool. So, I mean, you know, it's been a great show. We've talked a lot about, you know, what goes on. This is a very sensitive area in family law.
You know, Mike did say, by the way, I'm just putting it out there, that his favorite time in the studio is when you and I are together.
Really?
Yeah, he did say that, I think. Wow. I'm pretty sure
I heard
that.
I usually say him once a day when I'm here, so he's here all the time.
But Mike, you said
you're my most frequent combo.
Hold on for a second. It's got nothing to do with me. It's when me and you were here.
That's what I said, the combo.
When I'm here alone.
It's like peanut butter and jelly.
Right, yeah, trust me. Yes. Listen, my favorite show also. And
Blueberry
of course,
and Tangerine.
That's right.
Oh, that's a great name for a TV show right there.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
A radio show.
Blueberry and Tangerine.
Well, guys, because he's wearing a blue shirt, by the way.
See, radio was theater of the mind, Joe Krause always says, our good friend.
And,
By the way, I'm the radio, you know, I'm the one that's the face for radio. We have three other beautiful people. We can get the TV. Why do you think we don't do any video on here? First of all, Marla, this show puts more pressure on me than any show I do. Why? Because she's taking selfies and got the camera out there. Every time I see them, I'm like, I said to my wife, this show is going to keep me on my diet if there ever was
Listen,
one.
I'm telling you, you look great right now.
Well,
I'm
got ways to go working on my diabetes. You're an inspiration. You have the the training. You have personal training with the
Legion Soul Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If anybody wants to come. Ari, you coming to my workout class?
No, I like to live.
I know. I've seen that workout class. I'm telling you, man, there's no it's way intense. You'd have to bring oxygen and an ambulance.
Listen, I can't even move my neck right now. I'm like, because we worked out last night.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning like an 89-year-old woman, and I got out. And I'm like turning my head to see Joe D right here, but we'll survive.
I went to one and she told me to stop chewing gum so I could breathe better. That should be an inclination of what it's like.
What's that? But you know what? Everybody looks beautiful on Facebook, so it's working. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Pro to Pro Hour. Marlon Vitterola was sponsored by Synergy Pharmacy. Carolyn Hippolyte has been our guest, and Ari, awesome. We'll talk about that show. Maybe we'll get two shows. For Marla Vitterola, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.